Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
All right, it's hour two of the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We got a nice little hour here coming up. Questions about the Cowboys draft plans coming up at 3:20. March Madness with Eric Chiafalo coming up at 3:40. NFL News of the Day right now with Wolchuk. Here he is, Zachary.
Let's party, boys. All right, we've heard all about the Aaron Rodgers saga, and that's where we're going to start off here. NFL News of the Day, as things are maybe progressing, maybe they're just staying the same status quo out there at the NFL owners meetings. If you missed it, Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Green Bay Packers. Did I nail that?
You nailed it.
Gosh, I was practicing today before because I was nervous because that can be a slip up there.
I was impressed with the way you actually sped up during that treacherous moment. Most people try to hit the brakes a little bit, you know, slowly speed bump their way through it. You freaking like cranked it up a little. You hit the Nas and said, watch me flex on you guys.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pass. I'm going to pass this 18-wheeler real quick right now. Please don't hit me. Please don't hit me. All right. Woo! We're safe. And here we are. We're sliding home. Here's
a name change, last name, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think you need
some
to.
Some are just unnecessary.
Is that a better fake name than this guy who's trying to buy the Commanders? What's his name? Apostolopoulos?
Papadopoulos?
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't say that name last week to save my life.
Steve Apostolopoulos.
Yeah. Papalopoulos.
So we needed you last week.
I can't say it.
Sorry, I couldn't come to y'all's rescue. I was icing my balls and spitting up blood.
Great reference, my man. We will get to the commander sale
really
here.
You spit up blood doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What,
you can't taste it. No, brought us up. Is that a serious question, sir?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's true that if you don't use it, you lose it. So here is Brian, and what's gone on with Aaron Rodgers?
Everything you and Aaron did to, I don't want to say repair the relationship, but the last 2 years after he, you know, said everything he did a couple of years ago. Then he comes out a couple of weeks ago and says you basically went behind his back to shop him and he didn't seem too pleased from your perspective. How did the last couple of months kind of transpire?
Yeah, I didn't really take his comments like that, and it's certainly not true. I mean, I think, you know, as we got out of the off season or after the season and we had a good conversation, and then, you know, we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of I had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible and see who was interested, but that shopping was never really part of that.
So when you gave him that contract extension, you've said publicly your intention was for him to not just play last season, to play beyond that. At what point did it shift to, okay, we need to move on?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches and everybody. And then as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we kind of had to make some, you know, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
But you just said you did try and reach out to have those conversations, is what you said.
Yeah, but then he said we just ended up talking to his reps. That's who you can talk to. I'm a player. I'm doing my own thing. You ended up talking to my reps.
It's funny that
it's become very toxic, apparently, and they're...
Well, Gutekunst is schmuck for thinking that sitting in darkness while high as balls is going to have Aaron Rodgers with a cell phone.
Yeah, I'm going to call you. We're going to talk. Aaron Rodgers is not talking to them. And I loved what he's like. Well, I mean, once we tried to make contact, there was no contact. I've got to do my job. And he's not wrong.
Like,
and
I've been tripping all offseason, dude.
I think you can understand why the Packers are saying, you know what? It's time to just move on here.
It's never good enough. I've been saying that for 3 years on the air with you guys. Mm-hmm. It never was good enough for that guy.
There's a lot of angles to it. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers needs to shake himself. That's the kind of toxic relationship building that has his family estranged. And as much as he tries to seek the healing that he needs to go through, it's still so deeply rooted. And at some point, he's going to realize how big of a douche that he was throughout this offseason, throughout this whole process with the Packers.
He's holding up two organizations now, yep, with the Jets as well. And here's, according to Yahoo Sports, what the framework of the deal currently looks like. And what's holding it up
is... This is Charles Robinson?
This is Charles Robinson.
Okay, this is going to be good.
And he wants... The Jets right now want protection in case Rodgers doesn't play in 2024.
Oh.
That is what's holding the deal up.
Oh.
Just like you were saying, Brian.
Yeah, well, no, I got that from Mike Lombardi.
Well,
Mike Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast and on the stuff he does on VSiN was like, listen, if you're going to do this deal, you got to make sure you protect yourself if the guy turns into he wants to, like, go in darkness
you're
again
one
and get
done.
High and don't want to play anymore.
Right.
You don't want to give up a bunch to get a guy if he's not going to play for you.
100%. And it makes sense. Like, if
absolutely,
I were a Jets fan, I'd want this as well.
Yeah.
So here's what the framework of the deal looks like. Jets get Aaron Rodgers. Packers get the 2023 second-round pick of the Jets. They get a conditional 2024 second-round pick. The 2024 pick can become a first-rounder
if he plays.
If the Jets hit achievable team performance escalators during the 2023 season.
There you go.
So they'll put certain things like, hey, if we make the playoffs or whatever they want to put in there in the framework of the deal, that's how the 2024 pick can become a first-rounder. The Packers are like, if you're not giving us a one this year, why do we need to go ahead and guarantee you protection for 2024? The Jets are saying, because look at what this guy's making,
absolutely,
and there's no guarantees playing more than a year. So why are we going to give you picks for 2024 as well? So
because
that's
you've never had a great quarterback, right, and this is your one chance, and you got a win now roster. This chess match between these two organizations, this stare down, who's going to blink first?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, man.
It
if
is.
I'm the Packers,
I think the Jets are going to blink first.
Okay, the Jets are going to blink first because they need the quarterback. They're trying to win right now. Go ask a Packers fan what his expectation is for next year. Nada, zilch. Go ask a Jets fan. Fireman Ed right now is getting hammered because he feels like game day's around the corner.
If I was Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, I'd offer him 13 and that's it. If you don't want to deal with him, I'm giving you 13. You want a pick? Here you go. You got 13, no other compensation. Let's move forward from here.
I've seen a lot of the Jets supposedly like...
They don't want to move.
They don't want that 13th pick.
They don't want to move the 13th pick. I get it, but I'm not interested in giving you any more.
201 says,
business.
Lord, Gavin, stop talking about the man's family. You don't know what happened to that family. So irresponsible. They're estranged. I don't need the details.
Yeah.
How could you not get along with your parents and your siblings?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's broken, you know, and they don't like each other. You know, it'd be one thing if, like, there was a black sheep of the family that stole from everybody and screwed up on a drug addiction. You kicked him out of the family. They all are, like, intertwined with negativity and not talking to each other.
So we talked about the Commanders and their sale, which nothing's happened yet.
Papalopoulos.
We're waiting. So, yes, we all know now how much the Commanders are worth. Like, we think this could be, like, a $7 billion type of sale, potentially $5 to $7 billion.
If they had a better stadium, it'd be over $7 billion.
Probably would.
Yeah.
So Mike McDaniel, who is the Dolphins head coach and worked in Washington for 3 years, was asked about his thoughts on this. This is Mike McDaniel's response.
Wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee.
Wow. They made Coach McDaniels pay for his coffee morning.
I just love him. I love him so much. I could play McDaniel audio, I think, for a whole show. Just
I
the
want
best
his thoughts
of Mike
on
McDaniel.
Stuff. Yeah. He might be the new king of the soundbite from coaches now that old Mike Leach is no longer.
I couldn't get free coffee.
Oh, that's good point. Yeah.
It's so good. All right, so with the Packers moving on from Aaron Rodgers, it means the Jordan Love era is going to be fast approaching. Andy Reid was asked about his thoughts on Jordan Love because he did play against him in Love's first start, right, 2 years ago. I don't know if Andy remembers this.
Here's Jordan Love in that quarter. One by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he was good.
I thought he was good, but
what
I don't remember.
He goes, wait, who's...
Anybody got a cheeseburger?
Who is Jordan Love?
I got a two-footer on Friday, Andy. Come join me.
Did you guys hear I know his feeling, though.
Did he fart?
No, it was a mouth fart. This is like a Gavin Dawson special here. Can we run this back, Joe? Or unless one of you guys mouth farted in the mic middle of that. There is a mouth fart going on in here.
Fart.
A dismissive Jordan Love mouth fart. I don't know if it's coming from the reporter or from Andy himself. Let's check this thing.
Here's some Jordan Love in that quarter. One by up in the game that he played against you. What was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Trying to remember Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it.
We all heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he was good.
So I think this is one of the other reporters that are next.
Like trying to keep in laughter? Like,
yes. As soon as he says, I'm trying to remember who Jordan Love is.
That's the
just
fart.
Immediately goes, like, yes, it's a laugh.
Yeah.
Like this guy doesn't even know who the belief the quarterback is.
I know. It's hilarious that Mr. Anonymous here, that people are trying to pretend like he can play. He's been in the NFL for how many years? This guy can't
play.
It's
going to be his third year.
Yeah.
He looked good already? Against Philadelphia. This year, but he looked terrible against Kansas City 2 years ago.
This is the Packer brilliance, man. You hype them up, but deep down, you know you're going full tank. Here comes Caleb Williams.
What everybody doesn't know.
They're going to have a one-year buffer between Favre, Rodgers, and the next GOAT in Caleb Williams. And it's a Jordan Love buffer.
Are you kidding me?
They're going to sweet talk. No, guy, we're doing this thing, man. Jordan Love, we love this guy.
If these
number one overall pick.
If they find a way to get Caleb Williams, I am going to riot.
They're a group that I think they want Jordan Love to play well. They do.
Oh, well, I mean,
they
listen, hey,
I don't think
if he ends up being a stud, yeah, beautiful.
There are several.
But when he sucks in
NFL, I get what you're saying, but there's several guys that put it up on the table for that guy. And you know, that's the problem you run into is, like, now you're –
the guys who didn't put their nuts on the line for him are excited for the potential tank.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But the guys who put them up on the line are, like – terrified that they're going to have a job next week.
If he could have played, they wouldn't have dealt with this with all this with Rodgers. You know, they would have been pushing him out there last year.
That's what I think. That's when you have Brian Gutekunst, I think, is a good general manager. I don't think he's a big picture general manager.
Huh.
There's a lot of guys that, to me, these scout guys that get jobs, they think about give me picks. They don't think about the long term future of their team.
Yeah.
You know, I think Chris Ballard's a really good general manager at Indianapolis, but I think he's got some blind spots too. Hmm. You know, he's let that quarterback situation get terrible. You know, there in Indianapolis to the point where, you know, one more misstep, he's about to get fired. So yeah, I mean, some of these guys have blind spots.
Well, this is out of the NFL owners' meetings. The NFL has approved having just one roster cut down, meaning teams will trim rosters from 90 to 53.
That's a great idea.
After the final preseason
That's
game.
A great idea. That is an absolute great idea.
So, yeah, there's no reason to send guys home early.
No, Tuesday, no. And now you're able to keep bodies.
You know, you keep bodies and you're able to kind of get a little bit better. You see one more game of guys playing and then one cut, you can make all your evaluations off that one cut if you want to claim somebody, if you want to trade for somebody, if you know how you want to shape your roster, and you could get through that final preseason game without having to worry about playing guys that potentially you don't want to play.
Yeah, no doubt. And now it'll be Tuesday, August 29th will be the date to circle. That's when we'll get it finalized. The newest Miami Dolphin, Deshaun Elliott, is getting some hot water. He's in hot water now with fans because when you had the Lamar Jackson trade request be announced yesterday, he quote tweeted it and said, hashtag come to the Dolphins.
Oh.
Now the rest of the fan base is like, get this fraud off my team. Mm-hmm. You barely got your Dolphins jersey and now you're trying to replace the leader on the side of the ball you don't even play on? Damn, bro. So I guess there's a lot of love for Tua in South Florida, and they're saying this Deshaun Elliott can go bleep himself. You don't even know us. You're not about us. Why are you trying to get rid of our quarterback for somebody else?
There's a full-on Tua love affair brigade from people that have just been hyping him since
like a Tua hive?
Since he threw that ball in the championship game all those years ago. Like that, yeah, there's a Tua.
Tank for Tua?
It's called Tuanon. I bleep you not. It's Tuanon. I'm not kidding about that. There's a Tuanon brigade. I'm telling you, like, just tweet. Like, don't tag anybody. Just tweet out, like, Tua sucks and watch, like, Broadus, especially you, watch what happens to your mentions because you have a giant football following. Yeah. Tuanon will come after you, sir.
I kind of want to do it just to see what happens.
Tsunami? Yeah. It'll be a tsunami.
Yeah. Two and on.
It's two
I
and
love
on.
It, man.
Dead ball serious, bro.
Well, another, okay, so from one fan base that's worried about their quarterback to another, the Niners fans are worried about Trey Lance. And I don't know why, but they're really worried about his future because John Lynch yesterday said, I think Brock has earned the right with the way he played that he's probably the leader in the clubhouse. And if we were to line it up, he'd probably take the first snap on opening day.
Well, Trey Lance is always getting hurt and has never played well for them. Brock Purdy got hurt once and played like six good games for them. It's a no-brainer.
It's 7-1.
People
yeah.
love their quarterbacks. I mean, we've seen this with Dak, right? I mean, there's yeah. you either love Dak or it seems like you can't say anything somewhat subjective about Dak or fair criticism. When you do, you're going to just be labeled as a Dak hater. It's the quarterbacks are just nuts how people get so polarized by them. But you're right. Like, what has Trey Lance done for the 49ers?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yet, because you have John Lynch say that, they're all like, oh my gosh, what a confidence boost for Trey Lance. You bleep hole.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about him, huh? Mm. You traded up to go get him at number three overall. Now this guy thinks that he's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you should have been critical of your team when they traded so many up to take a guy that a lot of other teams wouldn't. I mean, this has been a high, high risky move the entire time. And I'll trust Shanahan to coach the hell out of any quarterback the front office gives him. But I don't want him picking guys anymore at all.
It's sad. Zach Taylor said that Jonah Williams, their tackle who requested a trade after they signed Orlando Brown, he's like, look, I expect him to move to right tackle. They don't seem like they really want to trade Jonah Williams. They're trying to get that offensive line fixed because they tried it with Lyle Collins. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. They want to protect Joe Burrow.
Dude, we could have a draft night trade bonanza. It's maybe like what we had last year. Jonah Williams, DeAndre Hopkins. And I like the idea of the Jets getting at 13, trading down, getting themselves some their own assets, and then trading that new first-round pick that they just traded down from. Say, here you go, Green Bay. Now give me Rodgers. Like, you could have Rodgers, Hopkins. You could have a lot of draft night movement. That'd be
Green Bay's going to pull a fast one on them and say, you're actually getting Jordan Love.
Yeah. All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Great stuff. NFL news of the day. We've been doing a lot of days at 3 o'clock with Wolchuk. Seems like you can circle back around for that a lot of days, assuming there is news. Now, coming up next, Wolchuk and Broadus have been working so hard on this draft and these players. We have three questions about the Cowboys draft plans in light of what the Jones boys are saying at the owners meetings. And we do have the very latest out of Phoenix as well. That's next in the Nation.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Here we go. Segment is brought to you by our friends at the Frankels. You know, there is a... There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck. So companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel, and Frankel consultations always free, truckwreck.com. Apparently, OBJ's cruising around the hotel at the owner's meetings trying to pick up a conversation with somebody. Is that desperate or brilliant? I'm not sure.
I think it's desperate. I think that streams desperation to me. I mean, what other players out there that's a free agent that's trying to get some buzz?
Lamar should be there. Tell you what,
I bet his mom is.
It would make it would make sense for Lamar.
I mean, you're gonna have decision makers cracking coldies in the next 90 minutes to 3 hours. Yeah. These are the conversation lubricants that might get you a job.
I tell you what, there's a lot of guys. What I would try and do as much as I think he likes to play golf. There's a lot of guys, those general manager guys, when they don't have meetings and stuff, all hook up together and go out and play golf. What better than 4 hours to kind of? I drive around in a cart, find out where the guys are playing, just kind of.
Arizona's a great place to be golfing right now. Yeah. There's some fantastic courses in and around there that we played over the years.
Yeah, the Biltmore's a beautiful location. I almost had a hole-in-one on the par three at the Biltmore.
Really?
It's actually the ninth hole. It's a par three. And it's funny because it's right next to where people eat. So, like, it was on a Sunday.
Yeah, I like that.
So all these people were sitting there, and I hit a shot. It hit the stick and came down like a foot away from the hole.
Ooh,
so when I walked up, like everybody was clapping and stuff at the outside restaurant.
Yeah.
Stuff. And I was like, that's as close as I've ever come to a hole.
Were you at the owner's meetings?
No, I was at an NFL function though. I was at a Players Association golf tournament. We were playing at Desert Mountain.
Cool.
And we got there early enough to go play the Biltmore.
Just fertilizing people's backyards.
Yeah, you know how I am. As long as I don't eat the eggs and stuff like that.
When I'm doing sports with somebody and they make a great play like that, I like to do the Sports Center jingle for you.
Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. Ooh. You know, you go into the hole at short and dig one out and flick for the double play or something like that.
Can you promise me a couple of those jingles when I'm housing that two-footer?
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, if you put that thing away, that's top 10 nominee material right there. Okay, we do have some Cowboys quotes from the owners' meetings here for you, G-Bag Nation. And in light of these quotes, how does it change how you'd be looking at the draft? Not for your player stacks, obviously, because you're stacking players how good you think they are, but what you think the Cowboys might do. Okay. Jerry said, we've got ourselves in real good shape to get some picks that we can play immediately.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Immediately.
I feel good that we can take any position with any pick. Knowing that, are there guys that you think are more ready to come in and contribute or prospects that might have unrealized potential, at, you know, that you wouldn't want to take at 26, I think, if you're Jerry and the team and you're implementing that philosophy here in this particular draft. Brian, what do you say?
I plug and play these guards. I plug and play a tight end. I plug and play one of these corners. Other than that, I don't know. Like I say, I'm a little nervous about plug and playing a wide receiver.
Yeah, especially one that you would take in the first round. I just don't think any of those guys are going to slide to you. And with your depth right now, you've got three guys that you're paying that are proven veterans with CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, and Michael Gallup. So that rookie that you would take at receiver doesn't need to see the field. Same thing with edge. Like, you know, a Nolan Smith's a guy that either goes to the top 10 pick or some people have him sliding down to the 20s.
Do you see, and I'm going to ask you guys this question, and hopefully you feel like they've got more than enough edges to play with that they don't need to draft an edge?
I don't think you ever have enough.
They're fine.
I don't think you ever have enough.
I mean, to me.
But it's not a need.
Drafting an edge at 26 might be one of those things that I don't think
How much longer are you going to have Tank?
Well, it'll be a year or two.
Yeah, probably.
To me, it's got to be a player that's clearly better than everybody else. Like, holy cow, we have a chance to have a 10-year starter here, and I know we have a log jam now, but this is going to be huge for us. Yeah. And he's going to play as a rookie and come off the bench and have 6 sacks. Mm-hmm. You know, you tell me that at 26, and I could go with it.
And
what does Sam Williams do for you then?
Sam Williams, Dorrance Armstrong, Tank, Micah.
But we praise them for the rotation. Fowler, 1 year deal, right? Tank. Yeah. Has had injury issues in the past. How much longer he's going to be here?
I'm with you, Wolchuk. Just make sure he's clearly the best.
Yeah. And that's totally fair. But that's why I'm saying if a player falls to you that you have that value, like Nolan Smith out of Georgia, just as an example, I would consider that because I don't think you can ever have enough edge rushers.
And is Nolan a play well rookie year guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I think that you're going to get some really, really good snaps out of him. The thing about it is, with this team, the more I look at it, the more I feel like, why would I draft an end right at 26? And I like Nolan Smith. Don't get me wrong. Sure. I really do. I think that he's a tier below the top guys that we're talking about in the first round.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking about history shows if they plug and play an offensive lineman.
It works.
If they pick an offensive lineman at 26, 27, whatever, it works for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That to me, I think that's the direction they're honestly going
to
go.
Everybody is claiming tight end to be the biggest need. Everywhere you turn, Tannenbaum's giving you a tight end in today's draft. Everybody. So I'm wondering, do you feel like the Cowboys are sending signals that they feel that way? So everybody's piggybacking?
I wonder if the Cowboys, if they really, really believe that Hendershot and Ferguson are that great. I wonder if people in that room in that organization are thinking like Hendershot better than Ferguson.
That wouldn't surprise me since they thought Dalton Schultz was all that last year.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, they might not know how to evaluate this.
That's
thing.
What I'm saying.
They failed so much after the Witten pick. They took like three different dudes in the second round.
Yeah.
Neither one of them could find a second contract.
That could be very much your mistake right there. The evaluation of their tight ends. They could think that Hendershot is better than Ferguson.
But to Chief's question, when you hear stuff like that, is that because the Cowboys are talking with
could
their
very
sources?
Well be. Absolutely.
Or are we just doing echo chamber journalism?
No. Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this next line? A COO Stephen Jones on tight end. We lost Dalton Schultz. We probably always going to look to beef that up. It goes to exactly, you know, what Chiafalo was just asking about. This interest in tight end seems very genuine from them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the same level of interest as them, but if you end up with three studs, you could really unleash hell with some matchup nightmares.
Okay, so that's why I've discovered a guy from a numbers standpoint. I haven't seen a second of his tape, so you guys tell me. But I see, I'm looking at a dude right now who's lighting up elite, great, green athleticism that I feel like you could probably get in the third round. His name's Zach Kuntz with a K.
Yeah, he's the guy that when you say you like Kuntz, that people go, oh, so do I, kind of a thing, you know? One of those things. I always take that's one of those very popular Twitter, like people mock draft him to the Cowboys, like in the fifth round. He's probably more of a third or fourth round player than he is a fifth round player.
Because I'm like, athletic.
The athleticism is ridiculous.
I think there's some risk involved with that guy for me.
Well, it's saying his last name is risky on two different fronts.
It's Kuntz. He goes to school at Old Dominion. You know, as a transfer and all that. But it's actually recruited by Penn State, I want to say, and ended up at Old Dominion.
I just see freak show athlete that I'm like, okay, I'd rather take a chance on this dude's athleticism, slow play him behind my Ferguson. I don't have to say first rounder, you got to play today, but this is an athletic monster that maybe you take in the fourth round, and I don't have to reach for a tight end that I don't know that I can evaluate very well in round one.
Well, I don't know that they can't evaluate tight ends. I mean, they've hit on Peyton Hendershot. That's an undrafted rookie free agent, right? Dalton Schultz ended up being a really good player they took in the fourth round. So I don't know that they can't evaluate the position. I think the bigger thing is when it comes to tight end, they want to add a weapon.
And this athleticism feels like, absolutely.
But, I mean, I've watched the tape. I think there's other – that's why tight end is so appealing.
I would take Wiley from Cincinnati, and I would take Allen from Clemson over that guy myself.
Allen is a Dalton Schultz clone.
Yeah.
I think they've been throwing stuff on the wall at tight end, and they have had a couple of hits in the last decade.
It's not just the Cowboys' fault. It is a general NFL problem where no one knew George Kittle was going to be good.
No one knew Kelce.
All the guys you thought were going to be good, and you drafted them in the first round, name that tight end pretty much, and it just doesn't really work out. I'll take a third or fourth round flyer on a super athletic dude that I don't have first round pressure of. I got to play today. You can hang around with Fergeshot a little bit, and they maybe not identify great tight ends, but they develop them. Schultz sucked day one. We didn't know if he was going to make the team. 3 years later, he's pretty good. If you can make Schultz look good, why can't you take the guy who's maybe the most athletic tight end in the entire draft? He's 10 out of 10 athleticism. I'll spend a third or fourth round risk on him instead of a first round risk, and I'll take something more plug and play offensive line or something in round one.
No, I think you're drafting your balls off over there, Chief.
It's very deep at tight end. I think there's better guys.
Maybe
you
why
could
he's
get.
Doing so well.
there's better guys you could get than Kuntz, in my opinion. Even if you waited.
Oh, there's no question.
No, I trust you. Guys
okay, on Steve, on the running back spot in a perfect world, you find a big physical back who can complement Tony. Who's that? Who's the big physical back?
Zach Charbonnet.
Maybe a little bit of an upright runner.
Adrian Peterson, right?
No. That's Adrian Peterson was an upright runner. So was, yeah. I mean, there's guys. He runs a little bit like, I was thinking it was.
Forrest Gump.
No, who's our guy from, why am I going brain dead? The guy from Arkansas that was here.
Trent Richardson? No. Oh, Darren McFadden?
Darren McFadden, yeah. A little bit of Darren McFadden, kind of the running style that he has. But I tell you what, I mean, yeah, the running back group, I think a guy you need to keep an eye on is Bigsby from Auburn.
Okay.
Kind of a buzzy name I'm hearing about that football team with the Cowboys.
Chris Rodriguez Jr. out of Kentucky. That's a dude who's a big physical back.
Coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, gentlemen, it is time for some March Madness news with your main man, Eric Chiafala, who is on fire today. Chief, where are we going?
What would you do if the GOAT told you to get your head out of your arse? That's next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Broadus was not flipping off the webcam. He was just reenacting what he does when he drives by a certain billboard around town. It's time now for a March Madness segment. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
Man, we got so much good stuff right now. Seriously, what would you do if the GOAT told you to stick your head up your arse? We're going to get to that. Yeah, and which GOAT would frighten you more if they told you that? Because there's plenty of GOATs going around. But there's some really, really fun stories as well. I want to start on the lady side of things. And this will tickle the fancy of Gavin Dawson, the single biggest ladies basketball fan I've ever met outside of Kevin Gray and Reggie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're top three. You're Mount Rushmore.
Thank you.
And then Broadus, it involves your LSU Tigers.
Go Tigers.
One of these lady Tigers.
Oh.
You familiar with the 6'3" Angel Reese?
She does fine work on TikTok.
She's a TikToker.
She is big.
She's killing it, man. I mean, a lot of these lady athletes are just murdering the NIL game. She's got half
good
a million
to what
Instagrams.
They're doing. Yeah.
She's got Bose Wingstop. She's a bone-in wing girl. That's awesome.
Yeah. She's dating a rapper. She's a freestyler herself, as Kim Mulkey has told us.
Okay. And, and you're not
capping. Y'all know what no cap means?
So apparently, and she's really good. I mean, she's a sophomore. She's fifth in the country, points per game, over 23. First team AP All-American this season. She's a legit badass, and the Tigers are a really good basketball team. She shares the same name as her mother. Angel Reese.
Her mom's attractive, too.
I haven't even actually seen the mom, but it makes sense because the mom is having
people jumping in on her DMs.
People are sliding in. Yeah. I think Broaddus might be a culprit.
Did you?
Angel
Mom's
Reese,
pretty.
Angel Reese's mother, who is also Angel Reese, had to tweet out yesterday, FYI, I am Angel Reese, the mom, not the LSU women's basketball player. Please be mindful when you tag and or send me DMs that your intent is to me and not my daughter. I'm getting some crazy dating requests from men my kid's age who clearly, by the content of the message, think they're sending it to Lil A, which is the real Angel Reese, who's the baller at LSU, who apparently, according to Dawson, already has a kinship with a rapper.
Yeah.
So she's taken anyways.
Here she's spoken for.
But Walt or Broaddus, mama's getting it done?
No, mom's she's involved. She goes to the games. She's a big fan of her daughter, since she should be. So, yeah, it's funny to see her come out and say, oh, wait a minute, you're sending these towards my daughter, not me. But
she does look young on her profile picture here.
Yep, sure does.
Yeah, you could easily see somebody have a misunderstanding there.
Well, maybe Broaddus should go because I believe the championship. I mean, they're getting to Dallas, aren't they?
Yeah, coming to Dallas. Yeah, they're going to start. They're going to practice Friday over at the AAC.
There you go.
And play Saturday and Monday or Saturday. Is it Friday?
I think they're playing Friday.
Friday, yeah. Playing Friday and Sunday.
Versus Virginia Tech.
Yeah, the men's final is Monday night.
The men's final is Monday night. You could practically get in for pennies.
$125, I heard.
Yeah, it's very, very low. Nobody really cares about these small schools, you could say.
The Texas schools, when Houston and Texas got eliminated, it went from a $400 get in to a $125 get in.
Well, big shout out to the better who decided to drop $24 right before the Sweet 16 on a parlay that corrected predicted correctly the final four teams. And that $24 bet has netted him $23,000.
What a beast. My goodness. Good for him.
And he did that at the Sweet 16?
He did that it was right after round one of the tournament. He went ahead and said, all right, we're going to go $24, and we're going to go UConn, Miami, San Diego State, and Florida Atlantic.
My goodness.
As a parlay.
That must have been a real fan to know Florida Atlantic ball like that.
Yeah, no question.
Because once you see them, you know, hey, this team could do it.
Yeah, and they had a really good record this year.
They played over here at the Star, right, in the Conference USA tournament?
They did. They won the CUSA tournament there.
Yes, okay. Yeah. It's amazing that you know, right? You had a Final Four team in your backyard there playing.
And shout out to the North Texas Mean Green in the NIT Final Four tonight against Wisconsin, baby. Cool. Let's go.
Ball in. Watch party at Walchuk's new apartment.
Come on over, boys.
Gonna crash that place. Yeah.
And ladies.
And ladies.
Ladies,
leave your man at home.
It's gonna be interesting. The game starts at 6, so I gotta hustle. We gotta hustle back to get the second half on.
Dude, the last time you were doing radio and they were on TV, they were knocking down shots.
They did win, so maybe that'll be good for us.
Dude, the 6 o'clock hour is gonna be electric tonight. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
UNT,
you guys
NIT.
Have that, right? I'm just gonna be watching the game.
That's phenomenal. Speaking of FAU, their head coach Dusty May, who I believe should put in the call and change his name to Dusty March. When getting back to the FAU campus and welcomed in celebration after their latest victory, was quoted as saying to the entire student body that was there to celebrate, if any of you see our players doing something that will distract us from winning a national championship, you call my cell and I'll be right over. So he's like, yo, snitch on the players. If you see them getting out of line, if they're supposed to be in class and you look to your left and they're not sitting next to you, and they usually are, gosh dang it, you call me and I'll be there to fix this problem.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you to stop telling on my players. Yeah. Stop snitching on these guys. I'm trying to keep them eligible.
Yeah, he's
root out the problem.
He's going full snitch here. But what's
did,
up?
Did Princeton made the final 16, right?
They did.
Okay. Did you see they had, usually like these teams that when their program gets into the 16 or the 8, they have this huge celebration on campus. They showed Princeton's campus. like everybody was in the library. They were like, you could hear like the birds and crickets and
yeah. They were like, they didn't even know they had a basketball team.
They didn't even like, nobody celebrated Princeton even being in the, the Sweet 16.
They were just studying.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There was nobody. I mean, they were all in the,
that's how the team celebrated. They just all went to study hall together and it was like the greatest, most electric moment.
I mean, usually like these cities and these towns go nuts, and Princeton was just, everybody was in their
Dockers and their penny
library.
Loafers.
Back to work, back to class.
Nobody's celebrating at all.
Just to put it into context, just how amazing it's been for this run for FAU, their head coach, Dusty May, who should be Dusty March, they've now got a story up from 2018, or it's coming out now, but back in 2018 when he became the head coach of FAU, he signs the contract, and it was the first time he became a head coach, so he just jumped at it. And he says, I walk in the room, the hotel room, and I started crying shortly after signing the contract because he did it on a whim. He says, I just committed career suicide. I'm not good enough. I can't do this, because he signed without seeing the actual FAU facilities. He just jumped at, oh, wait, I got a head coaching offer?
Let's
sure,
do it.
Yes, I will sign anywhere. He gets to the campus and he says, I have to admit, I have an impulsive personality, so I had no idea, but when I got there, I realized I didn't want the job. I signed the contract, I saw these facilities, and panic set in.
Oh, no. What have I done?
He says the school...
Time to pull a Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I'm going, can't you... I mean, don't we see coaches do this plenty? Couldn't he have easily done that? Like, maybe he just didn't have it in him to actually be like, I'm the coach that signed and then the next day backed out. But apparently they've made some upgrades for the most part to the facilities, but they're going to get a huge boost. But what they would have to do is, the staff in 2018 actually... They prided themselves on signing 10 players in their first year, the first year of the Dusty May tenure, without ever allowing one recruit to even see the locker room.
Let's go.
They were actively playing defense against their recruits, seeing their facilities, okay? And so they would show the football facilities to the recruits. Because remember, that's when they had Lane Kiffin. And things were coming up in the football side of things. So they would, I don't know how they were able to weasel this, but it's like, yeah, come play basketball for us. We're not going to show you our basketball
facilities. Check out our amazing indoor.
Because they're so bad. And now, Dusty May is the man, and he is going to get all the facilities he could probably ever have wanted.
Make it till you make it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought that was amazing, just like getting emotional at, oh no, like, this is bad. This is like Ed Reed doing the whatever school that he was at. I can't remember which one that he signed on at, but then he gets there.
Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, let's do this thing. I'll be the next Deion Sanders. And then he got there and realized, oh, crap, this is terrible. This is a wasteland of a campus. I'm out. Dusty May didn't say he's out, and it's worked out for him.
Well, didn't it Florida Atlantic, or not Florida Atlantic, Florida, what was the Florida Gulf Coast? Their coach, remember they went on that run, Florida Gulf, and the guy ended up like the head coach at USC.
Yeah.
This guy's parlaying this into another gig.
Oh, he absolutely will. Yeah. It's like Grant McCaslin's going to leave North Texas, probably for Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Here's some sound of UConn head coach Dan Hurley sitting down with Barstool as part of My Take. They ask him about Jim Calhoun filling these shoes. Obviously, there was the Kevin Ollie buffer, but here is Dan Hurley talking about one of the GOATs.
So he has an office in the building. So I took that job at UConn, and it was a disaster, man. I mean, talent, the way these guys were moving on campus, academics, behavior, it was so far away from anything you could win with. Everything was a mess. But then I walked over to coach's office, and I started complaining about how big the mountain was to climb, how messed up the program was. And he looked at me with a serious scowl. They called me an effing baby, and get your head out of your ass. Get your head out of your ass. This is UConn, son. You know, he ripped me.
Yeah.
You know, he ripped my ass. And since then, man, I've been shot out of a cannon, man. When the GOAT tells you to get your head out of your ass, you get to work.
Oh, that's a good motivational speech right there.
Awesome.
Calhoun squared him away, didn't he?
He did,
bro. You're going to complain the whole time you're here? You think we gave you millions of dollars to come in here and coach something that was perfect? Wouldn't need to give money for something like that.
Dang right.
Love it.
That was fantastic. And by the way, this is the first Final Four ever without a single former McDonald's All-American since the NCAA tournament began seeding teams in 1979.
Yeah, I can't decide if it's better or worse. I mean, it was obvious. It's been a great tournament so far. I know that much. Okay, G-Bag Nation. Micah Parsons tweeting, I'm switching. Agent Zero coming soon. That is his reaction to the news that the number zero is now allowed for the first time in over 40 years, 50 years. A number zero is back. And I don't know. Micah says a lot of stuff on Twitter, so I wouldn't take that to the bank, but I wouldn't be surprised. Longtime NBA insider weighing in on what he's hearing about the Mavs. Is this the real reason the Mavs traded for Kyrie Irving? That's coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.